بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. This is the 11th part of the Wisdom of Actions. We have been discussing about the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as explained and expounded, as elucidated in Hujjatullah al-Baligha and the wonderful commentary of it by Allama Sayyid Palampuri Dawud Barakatuhum, who is the current Shahul Hadith of Darul Diobad, in a commentary called Rahmatullah al-Wasiya in 5 volumes. Alhamdulillah, our team has translated that, and towards the end of 2010 it should reach the market in a hard copy. However, the material basically we are getting from there and expounding on it so that we can make it interesting and valuable and also add, because both the original Hujjatullah al-Baligha and the commentary require further explanations. This further explanations is coming in the way of Wisdom of Actions. And if we make an effort, we'll be able to understand it and practice. However, when I am explaining this, whatever comes in my mind, which will strengthen our iman and which will boost our understanding and which will enhance our knowledge and grant us a better grasp of Islam, Deen, Shariat, I do not hesitate to mention it. At times you may feel that we are moving away from the original wisdoms, but this information eventually will help us and aid us in understanding the wisdoms behind the actions. It has been stated that there are 4 major shi'ar, that is the Ka'batullah, Qur'an Kareem, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Salah. Concerning the Qur'an and the Kaaba, we have spoken, and when in future we make references to it, immediately you will have a fairly good idea of the importance of the Qur'an and the significance of the Kaaba. That is why now we are going to talk about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam, Ummats of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that you have a good idea what is the significance of a Nabi, a Rasul, Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam, why they have been sent, why send Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the speciality of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the sign of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what are the qualities of the Ummat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And from this, our information and our iman, inshallah, will be strengthened. First of all, a Nabi and a Rasul, both are divinely appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both a Nabi and a Rasul receive revelation, meaning both receive wahi. We must understand that the Nabi and a Rasul, both in history of Islam, were all the time males. A Nabi is a male, a female Nabi you do not get. A Rasul is a male, a female Rasul you do not get. And this is because of the responsibility, the duty, the function, and the severe responsibility of moving amongst the masses, amongst the population, amongst the inhabitants, which is not conducive to the biological chemistry of a female, the hardships and the difficulties, and to bear the torments, and to bear the harassment and persecution. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the Nabi and the Rasul to be a male. That a Nabi is the one who will go. إِنَّكَ فِي نَهَارِ سَبْحًا تَوِيلًا. It comes in Surah Muzammil, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the duty and the responsibility and the function of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the daytime you have got a lengthy swim. There is no swimming pools in Arabia at that time, or there is no lakes and ponds and wonderful dams where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to swim. And that too in the daytime, in the scorching heat. This would mean that the Nabi, yeah, inference is made that he is going to be like how the swimmer, he goes from one part of the river to another part, one area of the lake to another area of the lake. How the swimmer moves in the water, this side, that side, in, out, and his interaction with the water. Similarly, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will have to move amongst mankind. He'll be like swimming in the sea of mankind. Sometimes in the day, sometimes in the night, sometimes in public, sometimes alone. And here, إِنَّكَ فِي النَّهَارِ, that in the midday, you will have to be moving amongst mankind. This proves that the work also of the Ummat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be moving amongst mankind in the day. And when the brightness of the day has been chosen, which is the most difficult, those who have been to Saudi Arabia will know that at times when the sun is at its peak, at its zenith, at zawal, and when it is shining bright, it is so hot, it is virtually impossible to walk around. Here, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that go in that time and be like the swimmer and mix with the public, the populace, and give the dawat and give the call towards tawheed and risalat and akhirat and to the deen of Islam. Can you imagine that when this has been said, do this in the most difficult time of the day, then Badarja Ola, that more so when it is easy and comfortable in other times of the day, then this activity of preaching and propagation of Dawat and Tabligh has to be done on a larger scale. So this, for example, responsibility has been given to the male, not to the female. That is why there is no female Nabi coming. Because when you look at Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, when Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in told him once, Mata Nasrullah, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we have been harassed and put into difficulty, and we have been tormented and persecuted. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaning against the wall of the Kaaba. He sat upright and said that the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, that they were persecuted to such an extent that they were split into half and sawed into half and thrown into flames, etc. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that compared to all the Anbiya alayhi salam, he has been put into the maximum amount of difficulty and harassment. And this is one of the specialities of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has got the qualities, one side of the qualities, that all the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, the Shariats, slowly were changed and abrogated, evolved, until finally Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented to the world the Shariat as expounded by him, which is going to last all the time. So the Nabi, because of his responsibility and his duty, he as a male can withstand these difficulties, these torments, these hardships, and he will be biologically, physically, mentally more suited than the female. That is why historically there were no female Nabiya or female Rasuls. However, that both the Nabi and the Rasul receive revelation, that means wahi, and both the Nabi and the Rasul, they are divinely appointed, meaning that in once a Nabi, always a Nabi, once a Rasul, always a Rasul. There is no hiring and firing of a Nabi, there is no hiring and firing of a Rasul, there is no disposition of a Rasul or a Nabi. And a Nabi does not become a Nabi because of spiritual exercise. A Rasul does not become a Rasul because of sincerity, devotion, and spiritual devotion, gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Nabi is appointed by Allah. A Rasul is appointed by Allah. A Nabi is nominated by Allah. A Rasul is appointed by and nominated by Allah. And here also we should understand one point very clearly, that a Nabi is born a Nabi. A Rasul is born a Rasul. A Nabi does not, as some of these modern so-called research scholars of Islam have misled the public by stating, for example, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he looked at the stars and he looked at the moon and he looked at the sun and he said, Haza Akbar. And then he began to, according to them, come to a logical and rational conclusion that the sun is not the deity of worship, and the moon and the sun, they are not his Rabb, but Rabb is Allah. This he was doing to teach his public practically in a simple illustrative manner, that he was doing this taliman educationally so that he could teach his public in a simple manner, because the Nabi of the time, and especially we'll see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bring examples, he will bring illustrations upon illustrations to explain to the public the simplicity of difficult concepts and ideologies. Because sitting on the earth and to understand the alam of barzakh, the life in the grave, sitting on earth, walking on earth, and to understand the alam-e arwah, the realm of the souls, sitting on earth and to understand the alam-e misal, the realm of similitudes, is difficult. And sitting on the earth, walking on the earth, living on the earth, and to understand the akhirat, the jannat, jahannam, araf, these are very difficult and tedious. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained these concepts in a very simple manner. That is why we have got a deen that has got finite, definite belief structure, and we are able to understand it easily. And the scholars of Islam have expounded upon these ahadith. In fact, the teaching methods of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have now been compiled in a book, Methodology of the Teaching Methods of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abdul Ghudda Rahmatullah Alayh. And it has been translated into English, where if you read it, you will get literally hundreds of methods how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained difficult concepts, simplified it, and at times even with diagrams Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made on the floor to explain to Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in the easiness and simplicity of deed. So the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is born a Nabi, and he is, the Rasul is born a Rasul. We have got in the Quran Karim that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she became pregnant, and this was instant pregnancy, and when she gave birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, she was extremely perturbed now and worried that what she is going to tell the public, that all of a sudden she went out and now a little later she is bringing back a baby. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed her that you should fast. And the fasting in those days meant also, besides not eating and drinking, it also meant not speaking and talking. And how fortunate we are that in the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are allowed to talk and to speak. Can you imagine that if we were fasting the fast of those days, how difficult, how tedious it should have been. But because, alhamdulillah, we have got the merciful Nabi presenting a merciful Sharia, an easy Sharia, then alhamdulillah, we are allowed to do so many things. In this series also, in one of these parts, very shortly, I will explain the specialities of the Ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we will come to realize how fortunate we are. And there are over 100 specialities of the Ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which inshallah we will enumerate and we will say it, so that we can strengthen our iman and realize what great boon and favor of Allah is upon us, that we belong to the last Nabi, having the last kitab and the last Sharia, and with so many benefits and specialities. So Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala, when she brought Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to the populace, they obviously asked, Malaki Haza, what is this? What have you brought here? You have come from a good parentage. She wa isharat ilay, she pointed towards the baby. That means she pointed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and he was obviously very small, not even few days. And then he immediately spoke, the first miracle of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that Inni Abdullah Ja'alani Nabiya Atani al-Kitab. He said these words, that I am the servant of Allah. And this is divinely, obviously inspired to refute those who are going to come and say in future that Nabi Isa alayhi salam, ma'azallah, is one in three, or is a son of God, or he is divine. And he has been made a Nabi and given a kitab. Now what he is saying this at what age? He is saying this at the age when he is a few days old. Then we have got a simple belief which every Muslim holds near and dear to the heart, that the best of the Anbiya is Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The best of the Rasul is none other than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here Hazrat Isa Alayhi Salam on birth is saying that he is the Nabi, Ja'alani Nabiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a Nabi. So Badarja Ola, then moreover, more so, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all other Anbiya are born muwahid. They are born as a Rasul. They are born as Nabis. So when we study the birth of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then according to some riwayats, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on birth, that he went into sijda praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it as may, that a Nabi is born a Nabi, and also a Nabi and a Rasul, they are born muwahid, meaning they believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Because that is what they have come to call mankind towards. The message of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the essentialities of deen, the necessities of deen, the usul and deen, which the Anbiya alayhi salam have called, is very simple. There are three: Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat. Every Nabi has called towards this. So when the Nabi is born a Nabi and born Muwahid, that is when he, with insight and conviction and foresight and wisdom, and he strives day in and day out, in the night and the day, individually and collectively, he calls towards Tawheed. And they get a Nabi and a Rasul, they get a revelation, which we have called Wahi. Remember that this Wahi is from a divine source to a divinely appointed person. And as far as Quran is concerned, then we have stated divinely protected. And we know that there are various types and categories of Wahi. Basically, Wahi has got two basic types. One is Wahi Matlu, and one is Wahi Ghair Matlu. What Wahi Matlu is that revelation which is most often recited, which is the Quran Kareem, because that is the divine revelation which is recited all the time. There are a lot of actions which I have explained that are continuous now, because the world has become a global village. We know that there is not a time when tawaf, besides the Farz Salat, 24 hours tawaf is going on. And Quran Tilawat is same. And also Azan is the same. And we know, therefore, that this Quran Kareem is Wahi Matlu, that revelation which is most often recited. Then we get Wahi Ghair Matlu. That is that divine revelation which is not often recited, but nevertheless it is coming from on high. It has been classified like a revelation. And this refers to the blessed ahadith saying of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been also preserved like the Quran Kareem. There is a very interesting discussion done by Hakim al-Ummat Qari Tayyib sahab rahmatullah alayhi in the introduction of Fathul Bari, Alama Shamir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah alayhi's commentary of Bukhari, wherein he expounds on how, and he draws parallels between the preservation of Quran Kareem and the preservation of the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a very interesting and academic discussion which he goes into depth, proving systematically and logically like how Quran is preserved, a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also been preserved. And that is called Ghair Matlu. These two have been given two other names. The Wahiya Matlu is called Wahiya Jali, And the Wahi Ghair Matlu is called Wahi Khafi. Now, there is one question here, one academic question that comes. That we have stated that both the Nabi and the Rasul, they receive a revelation. Why am I expounding on this? So that we know the value of a Nabi. We know the value of a Rasul. We know how come the Nabi and the Rasul have become the shiar, the sign of Allah. And when we understand this, that is when we will realize the importance of following the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we come to realize that how important it is to hold fast upon the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of their high status and position and how close they are to Allah. And then we will not take their message lightly. We have not understood the status and the position of the Nabi and the Rasul. That is why, unfortunately, the message transmitted via them, conveyed via them, the Quran and the Sunnah, we have taken very lightly. And by understanding the definition and the significance, the purport of the Anbiya alayhi salam, then we'll be able to realize how high they are and how noble and valuable they are and how worthy they are to be followed. Now, the academic query that I was talking to you about, that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to come back. When we say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatum al-Nabiyin, he is the last and final Nabi and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a definite statement. And that is our basic, fundamental, essential belief. But when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes back, he will come back not as a Nabi or a Rasul. He will come back as a ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why that no new Nabi will come back. Yes, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is a old Nabi, time-wise, history-wise, and he has been foretold by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith, a mutawatira, continuous hadith, that he is going to come down. And he is going to lead the Muslims against Dajjal and Yajuj Majuj and grant victory to the Muslims at his hands. Now when he comes, the first thing that he will be doing is to follow Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala in Salah. So he will be following the ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Logically speaking, because I have mentioned it, I will have to explain one, 2 points. That, for example, our president goes to another country. Then he does not lose his presidentship of our country. He will be subordinate to the country where he goes to. But still he will be even addressed and called president, but president of our country. And he will not be allowed to contravene the laws of that country, and he'll be subservient to the laws of that country. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he comes as the ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then although he had a shariat of his own, now he will implement the shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he obviously is going to be a mujtahid, a mutlaq, and he is going to formulate laws, etc. We have stated both a Nabi and a Rasul receive a revelation. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to get revelation. Now when he is going to get a revelation, we know that the last kitab is Quran al-Karim. And that is the wahi, that is the divine revelation. Then when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to get a revelation, is that not going to abrogate the Quran al-Karim? No. Why not? When we understand another category of wahi. Now I've explained to you what is wahiya matlu, what is wahiya ghair matlu, what is wahiya jali, what is wahiya khafi. Now we have to understand there are two types of wahi. Also, one is wahi at-tashrihi, and the other is wahi ghair tashrihi. The wahi that came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it was in the form of Quran al-Kareem, that means matlu, or whether it was in the form of ahadith, that is ghair matlu, khafi, then would that wahi laws could be made, and it canon law could be made, divine injunctions and commandments could be made. It was legislative in nature. And the other type of wahi, because in Quran al-Karim we have got the other type of wahi also being mentioned, that the wahi of the bees. Now, doesn't mean that all the bees are Anbiya and Nabis. No. Though that wahi of the bees is not legislative in nature. That is ghair tashrihi wahi. Like how you get the wahi to the ants. The ants were inspired that the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming. It doesn't mean the ants have become to the position of the Anbiya alayhi salam. That was ghair tashrihi. Like how you get the wahi to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, or to Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, as I have narrated, what to do, to fast, etc. Because we have stated that the female does not become a wahi. So all these types of wahi are called ghair tashrihi. No doubt, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, yeah, we must understand that if a person does not believe in the coming down of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, then that person is not a Muslim. That person cannot be a Muslim who writes or says or denies directly that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is not coming back. That person cannot be a Muslim. So when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he comes down, then inshallah he will receive wahi. But this wahi will be ghair tashrihi in nature. So alhamdulillah, we know now few aspects of a Nabi. However, the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul is that a Rasul is sent primarily to invite the kuffar to Allah, while a Nabi conveys Allah's commandments to the mu'mineen. Yeah, Shasa makes one definition which is most interesting. Because we know, alhamdulillah, that a Nabi propagates a previously revealed scripture and Sharia, while a Rasul receives his own. Therefore, while every Rasul is a Nabi, every Nabi is not a Rasul. Now, to explain what has been stated is very easy. That a Nabi, he does not receive a kitab. A Rasul, he gets a kitab. A Nabi will follow the Sharia as expounded by the previous Rasul. A Rasul, he will get a kitab and he'll have a shariat of his own. And a Nabi, he will implement the shariat and enforce and act upon and preach and propagate the sharia laws and injunctions and commands of the previous Rasul. And the Rasul, he will have a shariat, a kitab, and he'll have his own laws, set of laws, not necessarily completely new to the previous Rasul, but definitely certain modifications take place. When we study the lives of the various Anbiya alayhi salam, the Rasul will have his own kitab, his own shariat, but it will be a lot in common to the previous Nabi, obviously, and the previous Rasul. Slight modifications will be made. That is why, alhamdulillah, that all the modifications that had to be made have been made already. All that which had to be abrogated has been abrogated, because we have got the last Sharia. And when we have got the last Sharia, that means Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last Nabi, the last Rasul of Allah Jalla Majdahu, has made all the necessary adjustments. All the necessary subtractions and additions Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. All the necessary modifications, the design for the final Sharia, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in principle has done, especially in the field of ibadat, that how to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been elucidated, expounded, propounded, and explained by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the detail, so that, because man generally gets misled primarily by doing the wrong ibadat. That is why there has been so much of detail in the ibadat of a Muslim. When you compare to the other avenues, you'll find, for example, in politics, in social interaction, in akhlaqiyat, in iqtisadiyat, in economics, then you'll find a lot of principles have been stated there. But when it comes to ibadat, minute details have been stated. And the amount of laws, if you have to pick up any book on jurisprudence, then in any mazhab, the amount of specifications you will find as far as ibadat is concerned, then if you have to put all the other parts on one side, then you will find that ibadat laws and specifications and ramifications are most detailed compared to all other avenues. Why? Because man generally would like to invent, innovate, add, subtract in ibadat. And this is the method of worship, so therefore there is no room left for Muslim that he has to add or subtract or modify or change or adjust. Why? Because not to spoil or not to grant him a opportunity that he cannot handle. He has been given everything. He can gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with utmost ease and comfort. That is why in ibadat there is so much of detail compared to other departments of deen. Now, also some other person has mentioned about a Nabi and a Rasul, a very interesting point that you do not generally find in major classical works, that compared to a Nabi and a Rasul, and a non-Rasul and a non-Nabi, that no Nabi, no Rasul lived in a baked brick home. And if you look at all these Dajjals that who have claimed Nabuwat, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that towards the hour, towards the coming of the hour, there'll be 30 Dajjals who will claim Nabuwat. And if you look at some of their claimants of the Nabuwat, these impostures, you'll find that they stayed in baked bricks. Also, we must know that a Nabi is masoom, innocent. He is free from sin, and he is one who is blessed with numerous qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the Nabi. When you study the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam, then you come to the conclusion, according to one hadith, that a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got the strength of 40 Jannati men. And one Jannati man has got the strength of 1,000 earthly men. We can see this easily in the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he went into the locality of Madian, and when he saw these two females standing aside, not allowed to draw water, and then he pushed that rock, that lid made of rock, covering the well single-handed. And previously it had to be pushed by numerous men in order for the mouth of the well to be opened for them to draw water. Numerous incidents like this you'll find even in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of the Trench, that when he struck that rock with Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they could not strike it and burst it open and split it asunder. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillah, by the power invested in him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, split that rock. Now when we see that a Nabi, he will follow the Shariat and the Kitab of the previous Rasul, which will mean that the Rasul, every Rasul is a Nabi, and every Nabi is not a Rasul. When we study Islam, alhamdulillah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent down plus minus 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. This same figure, you will find according to some narrations that there were 124,000 Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in in the Hajj, in the Hajjatul Wida of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to other narrations, yes, they say that there were 145,000 Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Nevertheless, that out of this 120,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Khatam al-Nabiyin. And out of this 120,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, we find that 313 were Rasul. That means all the rest were Nabis. For our sake of understanding, that these 313 received either big books or small ones. Big ones, we know four are the major big kitabs. The Torah to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the Injil to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the Zabur to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, and the Quran Kareem to beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the others, they received what we call Sahifas. Sahifas are basically what? Small kitabs. And it is our belief that Quran Kareem is the only kitab that is pristine, divine, protected, no change, no interpolation. Every other kitab has been changed, interpolated, and additions and subtractions have been made, and they have undergone so much of change that the original we do not know about. And this will also apply to the Gospel of Barnabas also. Now, out of these 313 we know that Allah Jalla Majdahu has mentioned 25 in Quran Kareem. And basically, 25 Anbiya alayhi salam, their names and their stories, some in brief and some in detail. Some, for example, like Hadrat Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf, this whole entire story mentioned in one surah. All the other Anbiya alayhi salam, their narrations are scattered in the Quran Kareem to add beauty to Quran Kareem. Now, in one surah, in the Quran Kareem, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one ayat, mentions 18 out of the 25 Anbiya alayhi salam. Go and check it and read it. You'll find the names of 18 of the Anbiya alayhi salam out of the 25 mentioned in Quran Kareem, mentioned in Quran Kareem in Surah Al-An'am. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes this figure 313. There must be some reason and rationale why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen 313 Rasul. And when we look that in the battle of Badr, there were 313 Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala to Majmain. And when we see that there are going to be 313 pious, righteous, who are going to take allegiance, bath to Hazrat Mahdi, when he will be making tawaf of Baytullah, when he will be between the Hajr Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, then there'll be a sound from the heavens saying that this is the Khalifa of Allah on the surface of the earth, and you should take bath to him. Then there'll be 313 at that time who will take bath, allegiance to Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. There is a book of ours, it is on our website, alislam.co.za, Al Khalifa Tul Mahdi Fil Ard. All the hadiths compiled by Hazrat Marana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi about the Khalifa on earth, Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala, who have been recorded in that book. We have translated it. It has been published. It is on the website. And you'll find what I'm talking about concerning Hazrat Mahdi and the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam therein. Also, what we should know and what is very interesting, that all the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, their exceptional qualities have been imbibed in Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you study the details of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, and every Nabi is the genius of his society and locality and community, and he is obviously the most pious of his locality, and he is the one who is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And there were Anbiya alayhi salam who were contemporaries, like how we find Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. Then all the exceptional qualities of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, they are imbibed in Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these exceptional qualities thereafter were distributed to beloved Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. When you study the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam in detail, then he is the one having and possessing the immaculate qualities of all the previous Anbiya alayhi salam. And one quality of his, quality of generosity, quality of helping, quality of justice, quality of mercy and grace, quality of hospitality, all his qualities of bravery, courage, valor, humility, sincerity, devotion, piety, abstinence, taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will find these qualities were given to Sahaba Ikram. And Sahaba Ikram, when you study their lives, you'll find that each Sahabi, he had one exceptional quality which came down for him from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, another interesting point is that the miracles of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, when we study them, the splitting of the waters for Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the cooling of the fire for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the staying of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam in the belly of the fish, the previous Anbiya alayhi salam's miracles, all of them were displayed at the hands of beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti has written on this in detail. It is something very difficult to understand and comprehend. He drew parallels between the mu'jizas of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam and the mu'jizas of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he did this, then he proved that the mu'jizas of beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were superior in nature, logically, rationally, than the mu'jizas of the previous Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. But if anybody has to study this and expound on this, one has to be very careful and cautious that in the whole explanation and in the whole exposition, one should not degrade or belittle any Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so fortunate and so blessed that we love every Nabi and we revere every Nabi and we honor every Nabi. We are not like the others. The Jews have got their favorite Anbiya alayhi salam. The Christians have got their favorite Anbiya alayhi salam. The Jews have taken their favorite Anbiya alayhi salam and turned them into gods. The Christians have done likewise. We do not attach divinity to the Nabi per se or the Rasul per se, but we know they are divinely appointed. And we respect every Nabi, love every Rasul. We, as Muslims, defend the honor and the status and the position of every Nabi. And this is what we mean, that they are the shiar of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anbiya alayhi wa sallam in general, specifically to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout the history of the world, you will find that the Muslims, not only when someone decided to speak ill of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it be the cartoon story or any other story, when the Muslims were outraged and protested rightfully, then simultaneously, when the world decided to depict other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam in derogatory manners, and in a way belittling Hazrat Isa alayhi salam or Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, then the Muslims also voiced their view and voiced their strong, vehement objection against those who speak ill of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Because we know clearly that speaking ill, as we have explained concerning the Kaabatullah, concerning Quran Kareem, that if you go against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Anbiya alayhi salam, with special reference to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you go against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then expect the icebergs to release their water. Expect lava to come out from under the earth. Expect the tsunamis and the floods to come. Expect the buildings to fall down in the earthquakes and the calamities to come on the surface of the earth. Expect massive oil leakages destroying everything and anything on its path. Expect so great climate changes. All these things are the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Expect inflation to hit such levels that mankind finds it difficult to even survive. That remember that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily mean that how the previous nations were punished. No. That this depression and this recession and this failing of global economy, all this are the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The coming of strange diseases and ailments which so-called are non-curable. All this is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming of leaders who are tyrants and oppressors and suppressors who are leeching the public. This is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming of leaders and governments and governors who do not have the welfare of the poor and the starving and the needy and the destitute and the orphan and the wayfarer at heart. This is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming of economic systems which are capitalistic in nature, which are communistically inclined, which are destroying the moral, economical, political fiber of the society. These are the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is destroying simple life of the public. So the azab that we think is really the azab like the previous nations, obviously is not going to come like that. It's going to come differently. And we can see all around us that the azab is coming in different ways and forms, especially we in South Africa and those who are also living like how we are living. We think, no, when it rains stones from the sky, then that is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, all what is going in and around us, the social chaos, the rape, the murder, the looting, the white-collar crime, the economical recession, the global economical fall, and the economical warfare that is going, and the Muslims are getting sandwiched in between the commodity and price hikes and the petrol hikes. All this is because that the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are going against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have forgotten a great responsibility, and that responsibility is that we have forgotten the responsibility of enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil. We have forgotten the responsibility of the Dawat and Tabligh, preaching and propagating. We have forgotten the responsibility of reformation and calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have forgotten that we have got a duty to take out mankind from darkness into light, from falsehood to truth, from kufr to Islam, from shirk to purity of Tawheed, from innovation to Sunnah. We have failed in our responsibility of giving and conveying the message of purity of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat, but we are wasting our life and energy, our wealth and property, our health and our amenities and faculties in vain and futile activities, kicking a ball here and knocking a ball there, looking at things which have got no benefit, and looking at sin, hearing sin, speaking sin, and then we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not going to come. When we are immersed in evil and sin, and when we have forgotten the responsibility of preserving the deen, the laws of the deen, And the preservation is done by the practice of the Sharia in order for us to be successful. But unfortunately, we have moved away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deed, to respect the Shiar, to understand why the Shiar, the symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so important for us to comprehend and understand and defend and protect, so that you and I can be saved from the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Hayır. 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 Hayır.